CRJ225, this is your week 7 summer podcast. You're going to have to excuse my voice or any interruptions. I got the Rona. So maybe a little hindered, but I'll do the best I can and give you what you need. So this week we sort of wrap up our topics with perjury. We're going to talk a little bit about the police officer as a witness, and then we'll talk about interference with juries or witnesses as offenses. I provided a document for your use for this week under course resources, and as part of that reading, I'd ask you to go, as I have all summer long, to the full statutes and read those statutes. If you have not done that, stop listening and go do that, okay? For the first assignment, you're going to find a news story, preferably in Illinois, that discusses a police officer accused or convicted of perjury, and summarize the story in your own words and relate how those facts fit with the elements of this offense as stated in Illinois statutes. Discuss how you think this impacts the ability of the police to serve the community and how it reflects on any of us who work to serve the law and justice system. Be sure to provide an accurate and working link to your news source or an accurate citation to a case. And then be sure to get your post up by the original deadline and log back in and continue on there. The second assignment is going to be for you to find a news story or case, preferably in Illinois, that discusses a situation where a person is accused or convicted of interfering with a witness or jury. Same sort of focus there. You know, how it impacts the public's confidence in the justice system. So the document gives you all the details, and you know, my comments initially regarding perjury and subornation of perjury. If you don't know what subornation is, ask Siri or Google. Look it up. Expand your mind a little bit, right? And your vocabulary, that's an important, it's one of those terms that, you know, you're not going to use at the grocery store or in most conversations with your friends, but it will come up if you're involved in law and justice. Perjury is an offense of lying while under oath. Important emphasis there, while under oath. It can be construed as an obstruction of justice, and because of this, it's taken seriously by Illinois and federal criminal courts. You can be charged with perjury while you are navigating the court system because of another criminal charge, or when you're involved in a civil case. Any instance of intentionally lying while under oath can be charged as an act of perjury. This goes beyond testimonies given during criminal trials and includes statements made in family court, during bail hearings, and during depositions. Again, if you don't know what a deposition is, I know a lot of the legal studies paralegal students do because they've had civil litigation. Look that up. It's testimony taken in civil cases under oath. Surprisingly, not all intentional lies rise to perjury. For a statement to be deemed an act of perjury, its content must be material. So those of you that had evidence, you know what materiality is. Those of you that haven't had it and going to take it, you'll find out. But anything in the law has to be material to the legal proceeding. It has to be related to that legal proceeding. In other words, lies are not acts of perjury if they are irrelevant to the investigation. I may like to say that I'm a 32 waist in my pants, but I'm not. My waistline's a little larger than that. Not a lot, but a little bit. You know the drill. those little tiny things like that. It's not relevant to the case, right? Additionally, the statement must meet the following criteria to be deemed an act of perjury. It must be made while under oath, as we've established. It can be written or spoken. Silence is not an act of perjury. It has to be in an affirmative. It must have been made with an intent to mislead the court. And again, that's going to be one of those judgment calls, right? False statements due to confusion or memory errors are not instances of perjury. In Illinois, perjury is a Class 3 felony. Additionally, a lawyer or other professional could have their license suspended, and police officers could lose their certification to serve if they are convicted of perjury. And perjury, you need to remember, is considered a crime of moral turpitude. Anything related to lying, if you give somebody a check, which hardly anybody writes a check anymore, knowing that there's not enough in your bank account to cover that check, that's a crime of it's a crime of dishonesty. Some defenses to perjury. There's a few possible ways to defend against a perjury charge. These include demonstrating that your false statement was not made intentionally, but due to confusion, misunderstanding, or misremembering an event. A lot of people misremember a lot of things. Demonstrating that your erroneous statement was not material to the proceeding is also another defense. In other words, you must show that although you did make a false statement, it ultimately could not have influenced the case's outcome. It is, as you'll see this week in your various examples, it is especially troubling when perjury comes by the actions of someone sworn to uphold the law. It puts us all in an unfavorable light. It's, you know, quite frankly, it's unacceptable. If you go into anything related to law and justice, majority of you are going to at some point raise your right hand and take an oath. And so it's unacceptable. It puts us all in an unfavorable light. And it's something that you should make your own personal commitment to avoid should you decide to stay on a path towards a career in law or justice. So that's my comments there. As far as interfering with a witness or jury, you know, it's extremely important to the day-to-day functions of our system, of our court system, that no interference occurs with witnesses who may be called to testify in a court proceeding or jurors who may be called to serve in a trial. And for that reason, Illinois has several offenses intended to address this kind of obstruction of justice. Even communicating with jurors or witnesses can be considered a crime. My legal studies students in the class that have gotten into our ethical code as it applies to lawyers know that lawyers and paralegals who are working on a trial, even a civil trial at the courthouse, are prohibited from having contact with the jury outside the formal aspects of the trial. And I'm obligated to report any such contact. So if while going back to the courthouse after a lunch break, a juror says hello to my paralegal, I have to let the court know the juror said hello to my paralegal. But it goes beyond those innocent things too, and sometimes people take this to a different level. The first offense discussed in this section is communicating with jurors or witnesses. This offense occurs when a person contracts or contacts a juror or witness with intent to influence their behavior in a court of law. So it's that aspect of, it's not just saying hello, as I used in that example. It's it would be if my paralegal went up to a juror and said, hey, I hope you can find favorably for our case or our client. Depending on the nature of the offense, it could qualify as a Class 3 or Class 4 felony in Illinois. Likewise, it's a crime to harass a witness or juror, or the family members of a witness, a juror, the spouse, the parent, the child, the stepchild. Harassment could lead to a conviction that could be classified as a misdemeanor, or in some cases, it's a felony. Finally, when bribery occurs related to witnesses or juries, it truly creates a breach of trust in our system of justice. Illinois statutes prohibit bribery of several groups of people. First, it's illegal for a jury commissioner or someone who provides the courts with the list of available jurors to excuse a certain individual from jury duty in exchange for a bribe. If you've ever served on the jury, you are in state jurors at the county courthouse, you know that it's sometimes a tedious, time-consuming, and time-wasting experience, and you'll see all kinds of people trying to get out of it with all kinds of different excuses. These days, there is no opportunity. When I first started as a police officer or a lawyer, I could get out of jury duty because no one was going to pick me. It's still true that no one is going to pick me, but I'm no longer allowed to be excused. I have to sit there until I go through the whole process, and then I'm finally excused as anybody else would be. It's also unlawful for a juror or witness to accept any consideration of any type from a party prior to the judgment or verdict. These crimes qualify as Class A or Class B misdemeanors. Finally, it's illegal to bribe a judge in order to procure a favorable verdict, and that's a Class 2 felony. And all that stuff should be obvious, right? Because especially when we establish it, we have this expectation of honesty and fact and working in good faith, etc. But it's there. So that's what we're covering in week 7. I hope you're doing well. I hope you keep up the energy. Week 8 is going to be a bit of a whirlwind. Our deadlines will be different. You will have to have things done by Friday of week 8. You won't get in next few days after that. So pay attention to that and be ready to work. The final assignment is, I think, something that you'll find interesting. The first assignment for week 8 is not that difficult, but both of those items, I think, will be valuable to you as a way to wrap up the course. And especially the final assignment. It's just a good opportunity for you to do something that, I believe from, having all kinds of meetings, especially for the people that think they want to go into law enforcement, but even the people that are going to be reviewing police reports, it's an opportunity to do something that employers, police chiefs, fire and police commissions, they want to know that they're hiring people that can do these things. So it gives you a chance to kind of think in that mode rather than just spitting back elements of a crime. Stay well. I appreciate your efforts.